lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are ignorant of his devices. Paul here, I believe, saying that there has been grief over the sin that was in the church, and the church sorrows with it, but the church must have a forgiven spirit toward these that have sinned. You can't have an unforgiven spirit and have the blessing of God. You're going to have a spirit of forgiveness. Real reconciliation is never made unless there's true repentance. But the fact of it is, there can't be an unforgiven spirit in the people of God tonight. You got to be willing to forgive if them people do repent. And I want to preach here a little while on what true repentance is. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, here Paul writes this letter, and he says in verse 8, he said, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that you sorry to what? Repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly sort, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this same thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things you have proved yourselves to be what? Clear in this matter." And so real repentance is you're sorry for your sin. You're sorry that this sin's got in your heart and in your life. And you want rid of it. You want to repent of it. You're not sorry that you got caught. You're sorry for the sin. You're sorry that, my friend, you sin against God. Listen, if you get to this thing tonight and see that the whole glory of God's at stake because of some sin you commit, it'll cause you to live in the fear of God. It'll cause you to see that this can absolutely affect the whole church. That one man's sin can affect the whole crowd. That a little leaven in the sanctuary of the people of God could affect the whole church. And tonight, you ought to want what God wants, and you ought to want what the glory of God is. Amen. I talked to a fellow one time. He was trying to explain to me why he handled things the way he did. And I told him face to face, "I'm more concerned about the glory of God and the well-being of the church than I am your feelings." Amen. I'd rather know that God's glory has not been shamed and not been hindered. And brother, we the people of God are living right. And the welfare and the well-being of this church is right. That God can do what he wants to do. Amen. That try to please somebody. Thank God. I want to tell you tonight, friend, it's rather right or wrong tonight. It's not who you are, it's what God says. And we need to see that. Repentance is a requirement. A man must repent to be saved. And so I'm reading these tonight in chapter 7, verse 11. And there's some things that godly sorrow works in. You'll not have godly sorrow until you have God sent conviction about your sin. The Word of God tells you what sin is. And these men knew that was sin. I mean, for a man to take his father's wife and go lay with her, that's sin. In fact, my friend, it's still sin today. It's still sin and always will be sin. I tell you, we got people like that in the church that want to live in sin. And we wonder why they want my friend, a position in the church. It seems like nothing don't bother them. I'm telling you, they don't need nothing but repentance. A man should never, no, never be a member of a Baptist church and live in sexual sin and immorality. That don't mean a man can't fall into sin. Amen. But it does mean about these people today that live outside the marriage bed, shack up, live in sin. They need to be judged as fornicators. God says that. He said, put away from among you that wicked person, and God still says it, and when we let things go on and we don't deal with sin, then it'll eat the church alive and it'll lose the power and the light of God that it has in it. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Amen. There's a lot of things you can preach right here. I'm trying to follow God, but I'm just saying in this text here that this man was committing this sin. He wasn't mournful over it, and he wasn't repentant of it. And God says now that this man, it looks like that he's cleared himself of this matter. Amen. And look at verse 11 and 9. Let's see. Now, I want you to look at your own self. Amen. Don't look at nobody else. Look at your own self. See if you really have repented. I mean, let's just take a good examination tonight and see if you really repented. If you said you did, and if you hadn't repented, you never have been saved. If you hadn't been changed, you hadn't been saved. I'll tell you, I guess sometimes I'm so critical, and God helps me. He humbles me and gets me to a place that I see I'm nothing. I still see that I'm a nothing. But I wonder what people really think. I had a lady call me yesterday, and she just wanted me to go see her son. He's been in the jail for several years. She said he's got a bad language. She said he can't get around others. They can't trust him. Listen, and she said, but he got saved when he was a little boy. I tell you, you ain't gonna sell anything good to me, friend. If you get saved, you're changed. Amen. That don't mean you can't slip up. That don't mean you couldn't, my friend Paul. But that does mean if you do the Holy Ghost, he'll deal with your heart. He'll get you in line. You can't live a life of sin. And please God, he'll deal with you. Hey, friend of God, I said in the book, and he did, that your fathers judge you when you sin. Won't God judge you if you sin because you're his? I'm going to tell you, listen, people's found out what biblical salvation is. It's not a profession at an altar. Thank God it's meeting the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of God, and he makes a difference in your life because you met him by the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. That's right. I wouldn't declare nobody saved that hadn't shown no fruit of it. I just don't believe that. I believe that boy is born in this world. He's going to be growing from now that he leaves out. And I believe that's what he's going to be when he grows. He's going to grow up. He's going to be a man one day. But it all started at the birth, but he didn't remain a child. Thank God he grew. There were some differences in it. And when a man gets saved, he don't just make a profession. The Baptist church has sold people short on the fact of trying to get them to make a profession. Make a profession. Make a profession. Old Brother Billy Mitchell said the other day, I heard him preaching. He said, you get any professions? He said, I can't even get no false ones no more. Amen. That's right. But there are so many people today making a profession. If we can just get them to make a profession. Well, brother, it's not in the profession. It's in the possession. Amen. It's what you have in your heart. And I'm going to tell you what, it'll keep you out of jail. Amen. That's right. It'll keep you out of sin. It'll keep you out of the regular shame on God. And if you do do it, there's judgment and there's the dealings of God. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there, my friend, in this church, they had some problems in it. And one of them was that this man was living in sin, and he was given a space to repent. And he said in this matter here that he had cleared himself of that sin and was mourning and had some godly sorrow over his sin, and he had real repentance. Amen. And so let's look at it tonight. There's seven things I believe here that God says that'll be in your heart if you really have repented. Number one, he said here, he said, what carefulness it wrought in you. What's that mean, preacher? That means you want to get right speedily and do business with God. That means if you really are his, and you know you've sinned against God, hey man, they don't have to coax you and talk to you about getting right with God. The most miserable person on the face of the earth is a man that's been saved outside the will of God. A man that's been saved that knows he has sin in his life, and he can't get in touch with God. Here's a man that has to speedily get right with God and do business with God. I believe the true evidence of a man being saved is he wants to get right with God as fast as he can. That sin that's in his life, amen, it's there. And he knows it there. My friend, the judgment of God on him if he don't make it right. And he said, what carefulness, it'll reach your heart. It'll make you careful. Thank God to speedily get right with God. There's a penalty. Thank God for not getting right. There could be the death, the sin and the death, if a man don't respond under the voice of God and make things right with God tonight. There is a sin unto death. That's right. Notice this, not only carefulness it wrought, notice what else it said. It said, yea, what, clearing of yourselves. I'll tell you what that means. That means you want cleared from this sin. You want the sin off of you, brother. Amen. You don't glory in sin. You mourn in sin. And I'm talking about any sin. Oh, I sinned against God.
Yeah.
I want sin. I want cleared from this sin. I don't want this sin on me. I don't want the sin of fornication this man had committed. I don't want that on me no more. I don't want that in the church. And I want to make it right with God. And there's a clearing of it. I want to get cleared from it. That was the plea of this man. Make it clear. Cleanse me. Get it out of my life. I don't want it no more. Hey, that's what repentance is. It's wanting to get rid of sin. Amen. That's right. One old man of God said, repentance is taking sin by the hairs of the head, pulling it out by the roots. Amen. That's right. Sin, my friend, is sin against God. And you ought to want it out and get it cleared from sin. Then I'm going to say this, and sometimes it makes you go to others and make it right. Amen. A lot of people want to step around what they have to do to get right. It might be you have to go to somebody and tell them you have sinned against them. That you have sinned against them. First of all, you got to leave it at the altar and then go get right with your brother. You can't get right with God unless you get right with those you sin against. Amen. That's right. If I sin against the church, then I got to get it right with the church. If I sin against Chris, I got to get it right with Chris. Amen. If I sin against my neighbor, then I got to get it right with my neighbor. And any sin in your life you won't clear from, you got to deal with it and you got to get it clear. I ain't gone the way God says get it clear. If you don't, then it's never been cleared and it's still upon you. And that sin will end up taking you down, my friend, and end up destroying your life tonight. Amen, preacher. Notice what else he said. Yea, what indignation. What repentance does in that? It you have a holy displeasure for the sin you committed and you hate it. You turn, your indignation is against that sin. Your indignation is against that sin. Amen. You know what we've got to today? We've got used to the dark. And sin don't bother us no more, you see. We can see things we used to see and say, that's ungodly. But now, it's just a joke. People laugh at sin. Now, you know the Bible said fools make a mock at sin? But if you sin and you don't hate what's happened, and you don't hate what... Listen, anybody can say, I am sorry. But that don't always mean they've repented. If you don't have no action toward that sin, and turn from that sin and hate that sin, you've not repented. Repentance comes when you turn from that sin. Amen. I can tell you I'm sorry, but the actions I do speak louder than the words I speak. And when you hate that sin, you have a displeasure for it. That's indignation. You don't want it around you. You don't want that sin. And brother, I'm telling you, when you get there, God got some real repentance in your life. That's right. Indignation. Do you hate sin? Number four, notice what he said. Yea, what fear. That means you're fearful to have this sin in your life and remain in this sin. You're fearful of it. Are you scared of sin tonight? Do you think you can handle sin? You think you can take a little bit of sin? I can do a little bit here and a little bit there. You know, that's what the devil will tell you. You can have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it never will bother you. I'm going to tell you, the devil's lying to you. Oh, I can go out, I can take a drink here and take a drink there, and I'll be all right. You know what? The devil's lied to you. I can go out, I can do a little bit of this sin and a little bit of that sin. I can hang around the nightclubs and the taverns and the wicked places of this world and hang around ungodly people and hang around ungodly associates and think, well, I can do a little here. I can come to church on Sunday and I'll be all right. I'm going to tell you how my friend Foolish is at. Because if you don't fear sin, I'm telling you ought to run scared and out of sin because sin will destroy your life and sin destroy your family, and there's not a one of us above it. And if you really do repent, then you have a fear about this sin in your life. That's right. Every man's got weaknesses. You better watch them. That's right. The devil don't play fair. And number two, the devil don't come to you as a devil. He comes to you as appeareth as an angel of light. And he will destroy anybody he can. And if there's anybody he'd want to destroy the preacher and his people at the house of God, bring a shame and reproach on the name of God. Amen. And do what he can to destroy this assembly. Let's meet here together tonight. Amen. That's right. And that's what he wants to do. And I'm going to tell you what, when we don't have real repentance and hate sin the way God says hate sin, amen. I'm telling you, if you got God in you, you hate sin and you don't want sin in your life, then he said that'll bring a fear. If there's real repentance, you'll fear the sin. You'll fear it. You'll fear it. Something's a pulling you. You better watch it. Yeah. Amen. You know why people sin? Because they want to. Yeah. That's why they sin. Wonder why that man done that. That woman done that because she wanted to. The closer you hang around it, the more you have to do it. If you hate it and fear it, the way God says do, that's real repentance in your life. Don't say this. It says, yea, what? Vehement desire. That's a longing toward God for cleansing and overcoming power. You have a desire for God to cleanse you from this sin and have overcoming power of this sin. When you make light of sin and you make light of what you did, my friend, I'm telling you, God didn't make light of it because God said it's sin and you're not going to have your prayers answered as long as you live in it, as long as you still desire it, and there's still a fleshly man that you house and still desires sin, and brother, you might as well go ahead and count it. It's your enemy tonight, and within you there's a holy desire that's been burnt by divine nature to live a holy life, and if you don't live holy tonight, amen, it don't please God because he commanded us to live holy and live for God. But when you don't long for cleansing and you still harbor sin in your life, amen, brother, it'll end up taking you down. There's no repentance. There's no repentance. He said, what did God say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, I will not hear him. That word regard there means If I make something of it, if I'm not willing to give it up, if I regard it, I esteem it. Amen. That's right, brother. That's right. That's why I'm against all this stuff on this computer all the time. Them bunch of chat rooms, that nothing but a bunch of filth. What it does, it entices the mind of people. I've got one. But I'll tell you what, I know it's a damaging thing like television can be, but I think the computer's worse than TV. I can't talk to somebody over TV. And I'll say it again, you don't like it, you just go ahead and talk to God about it. I believe I'm right. I don't believe Facebook's of God. Why do I got to put my face on a book? Oh yeah, I went to the toilet at 5:30. I don't want nobody to know my business. I don't care about what other people's doing. But I'm just telling you this. I believe a lot of that stuff on the computer has led to a lot of sin. Pornography's eats up the computer. It ain't nothing godly going on. Amen, preacher. That's right. As far as these chat rooms and all this other mess is going on, Twitter and all that filth. And we say, I just got to do it. Why don't you quit lying to yourself and say, I want to know people's business and I want to tell somebody else my business and my friend not have no touch of God in your life. I'm telling you, I'm preaching a right. These young kids, I don't know about it, brother, why mamas and daddies let them go in there 3 and 4 hours, sit on the computer. I had a fellow tell me, he used to play basketball for me. I said, what'd you do yesterday? I said, I spent 12 hours on the computer. I told the young people down there at that preaching Friday, and them young people down there at Rockwell, I said, I'll tell you what, I was preaching on Pharaoh, I mean the Nebuchadnezzar and the golden image, and I said, you'll not come to bow to God on Sunday if you bow to Nebuchadnezzar and his filthy image all week. I'm afraid that's what's happened to the Baptist church and maybe Westside Baptist church, because they sure don't come much to worship sometimes, and I figure some of it's because Nebuchadnezzar's in their life. That desire's in me, brother. And I'm still flesh. I don't know about you. I'm just preaching about myself. I don't know about you. But I tell you what, you give a little, you'll want more. There's nobody ever been satisfied with a little. Every drug addict, every drunkard, amen, every one of them started just a little bit. And now, brother, that's who we're preaching to every Monday night, is a crowd of people, my friend, that's drug. I wonder if their mind can even retain what's preached. The problem is, it started somewhere. You young girls live holy. You young boys live holy. I don't care what the world says. This is what God wants. We're not of the world anyway. We've been separated unto God. Ain't many people want to listen to me no more. They think I'm crazy. But they'll listen to the doctor and pay them. I'm trying to help you tonight. And I need to help myself too. I need to help myself. I need to preach to myself sometimes. That's why we're raising a generation today. Don't know nothing about God. Nor work. Nor responsibility. And the mule walked on. He's still a-walking. And the old hippies on him. And he got hung in an oak. And we don't have no desire to hate sin. And let me tell you something tonight, and you might think this is wrong, you think I'm rough, and take what you want to. I wouldn't talk to a bunch of people hated God. I wouldn't talk to a bunch of people hated God. Hate the church, hate God, hate me. I wasn't messing with that crowd. Yea, what for him? It put a desire, thank God for cleansing, overcome it. Then it said, yea, what zeal? That means to have a fervent urgency to repent. I got to get this under the blood. Just like we had a man one time in here, he sinned against God. It was open too. It was in the open. I said, you got to repent to the church if you want to stay a member. He said, what you want me to say? I saw, God help. What you ought to say is I'm a wicked, low down, good for nothing sinner and I need repentance and forgiveness. And I've sinned against God, sinned against you, and I'm a dirty, rotten bum. Pretty rough, ain't it? No, it ain't no rougher than what God said. Amen. And he got up and he said, I made some mistakes. I got up and said, this man here sinned against God and he needs the church to forgive him.
He went out and done it again. He didn't repent. If you repent, I'm going to tell you what, friend, there'll be some zeal about it. Amen. You won't have to ask the preacher what you ought to say. And this is the way I believe it. I believe if you sin against God, you got to make it right with God. If you sin against me, then you got to make it right with me. If I sin against you, I got to make it right with you. If it's done in open, then it's got to be brought in open. You minimize it as much as you can to keep from hurt and shame and disgrace to the church and other people. But at the same time, friend, if there's real repentance, there will be healing from it. There'll be cleansing from it. And there will be, thank God, my friend and I, people that have a different life after they repent. And I'll say this, I'm through tonight. He said, yea, what revenge? What's that mean? You have revenge against the sin and you hate it? That's what it means. He said, in all things, you have approved yourselves to be clear. In what? This matter of repentance. This matter of repentance. You've got to repent. You've got to repent. That's the book, friend. He said, I just thought you had to ask Jesus in your heart. Well, if you're under Holy Ghost conviction and repentance has been worked in, that'll work. But a man never asks Jesus to save him until he repents. Repentance is before faith. And I'll tell you this, it took me a year to get to satisfy God with my repentance. I was taught an old fellow, he wrote that book on the King James Bible. Pretty smart old boy. He just didn't know much about God. He wrote there against lordship salvation. Well, I don't know other than no salvation lordship. He's Lord. You bow to him, brother. Amen. I called him. Grady's his name. Seemed like a good man. I said, I saw in your book you said something against lordship salvation. He said, well, he's not Lord of everybody saved. I said, well, I beg to differ with you. I said, when I bowed, he became my Lord. He's my owner. He's my sovereign God.
Amen.
He said, well, you telling me that everybody's saved, is living right? I said, I'm going to speak for myself, sir. If I don't live right, God deals with me. He said, well, I got saved in February, still in the honky-tonks in November. I thought, that's what I wanted out of, not stay in it. Real repentance will get you out of sin. You see, the old-timers believe what I'm preaching, not the Puritans preached it. But you know this New Age movement, this new church movement, to get a lot of professions is trying to give a bunch of sad stories and push people to make a profession and they never have no repentance. I'm telling you, you got to repent. And if you don't repent, then you won't be clear in the matter of repentance. You say you do the same thing before? Sure do. Paul said he hated what he done. He said, them things I do, I would not have done. Them things I ought to do, I don't do. He said, but them things I do, he said, what did he say? I hate. I hate. I hate. We want an old time church. We don't want old time living, though. That's what bothers me. Don't get me wrong. If I preach this about anywhere else, there's a few independent Baptist churches that take it. I preach against it anywhere. It don't matter to me. I don't care who's the president. God lays it on me. I didn't think of it. God give it to me. But I'm gonna tell you this tonight. You better hear what I'm saying. Repentance is a requirement. And if a man sins in the church, he's got to repent to make it right, or that leaven will be in the church, and it won't be no power there. And if a preacher tries to cover it up, if congregation tries to cover it up, I'm telling you what, my friend, are you listening to me? It don't matter who it is. You got to deal with it the way God says deal with it. And that is that local church's responsibility. And Paul said there, he said to deal with that sin.
sin. He said, repent of it. I said, that man will not make it. And the church, if I don't deal with it, they'll have a bunch of leaven in the church.
I don't say you. I appreciate you dressing right. We don't need people up here half dressed. We need a good holiness, holy living. Power of God. Amen, preacher. That's right. We're not out trying to sign members up. God will add to the church such as should be saved. And I'll tell you what God wants out of this church. He wants repentance.
Yeah.
That's right. Repentance. Wonder if you've repented. Huh? God worked repentance in you. He granted repentance to you. If you hate these truths, it might be because you hadn't repented. But that's true repentance. And he said that godly sorrow worketh repentance. And what that word worketh there means, it'll work in you to bring you to the end of that sin that you don't want it no more. I got a 2-page note at home. I'd bring it and read it to you from a man that's in prison on Camp Road. 2 pages. That man poured his heart out to me and said, it's my fault. I've sinned and now my wife's gone. And he said, I know it's the will of God for us to be together because we got married. He said, but now I don't know where she's at. He said, I've lived in sin. I've done all kind of manner of wickedness. He said, it's my fault that I'm in this sin. And he said, in that letter, he said, please pray for me. Ask God to help me. He said, I need the help of God. I need the prayers of God's people. He said, I'm in a situation now. I can't do nothing about it. But pray. That's right. Yeah. So we cover up sin. Don't call sin for what it is. Then that's what happens in people's lives. Don't work repentance. If a man don't preach against sin, I don't think he's much of a preacher, because you can't preach the Bible unless you preach against sin. I mean, sin's what put Jesus on the cross. Yay. Cleared yourselves. Cleared yourselves. Yeah. Cleared yourselves. Let's stand tonight. Are you clear?